It feels like we've been constantly breaking new ground on Sports Build this season, and our final podcast of the series is no different. For the first time, we cross into the world of Muay Thai as we speak to recently crowned WBC world champion Ellie Harbour. That was the 12th title claimed by the 18-year-old across a variety of martial art disciplines, and it was her first success in an adult tournament, which saw her win 4 fights in 4 days to claim gold at her maiden senior world championships. Despite her young age, Ellie has come a long way since her first venture into a gym. Not only has the sport provided her with a platform to excel, it's proved to be a vital way of helping her control her anger and find a way of expressing herself. Furthermore, she's let her sport do the talking to quieten the bullies who try to ridicule her, and is one of an exciting generation of young female athletes proving that sport is for them and for everyone. Thank you to Athlete Media Group for setting up the interview, and we hope you enjoy listening to someone we have no doubt is a superstar in the making. Small disclaimer as well, unfortunately for the first minute or so of Ellie's interview, the audio isn't great, but please stick around because I promise it gets a lot better and stays pretty good for the rest of the interview. Welcome, Sports Build listeners, to the final episode in our series, but we've got another cracker lined up for you. And not only do we have possibly our youngest ever guest on the podcast, but also one of our most successful with 12 world titles already across a variety of martial arts sports. I'm delighted to welcome to the podcast Ellie Harbour. Ellie, welcome to Sports Build, and how are you, first of all? Thank you for coming on.
Good, thank you. Thank you for having me on. It's a really good experience.
No, thank you for coming on, and thank you to Athlete Media Group for organising the interview as well. I mean, there's loads to chat about, even though the fact you are only still 18, still very young, such a trophy-laden career, such a sparkling career so far. But I guess 2024, we're nearly 4 months in, and you've been quite busy. So I was just wondering if you could take us through what's happened in your year so far.
So after Christmas, straight back into training. Went to Thailand the beginning of February for the WBC World Championships. So it was my first ever adult tournament. So I went there, didn't really know how many was going to be in my category. Then had quite a big category. I ended up having about 4 fights. 4 fights over 4 days. They were all tough fights. And then I ended up winning, which was massive for me. I then went on to win Female Fighter of the Tournament. So as a first adult competition, I mean, can't go wrong there.
Yeah, what a start that was. First adult competition, as you say, what was it like making that step up from facing fighters of just your own age to, you know, some fully grown adults? Was it quite a big jump, or was it something that you were long prepared for?
Long prepared for it. I mean, I've always prepared. I spar with, like, women, men all the time. Like, I'm always around older people, more experienced people. I've had fights against older people, but just not at an international level. So that was my first, like, international kind of level of fighting within the adults. But, I mean, it's a step up, but I'm only going to take it head on and just take how it comes.
And you say there are 4 fights in 4 days. Is that something you'd ever done before, or was that quite a new experience for you as well?
That was actually a new experience. So I've done tournaments before, done loads, but I've only ever really had maximum 2 fights. So when you're junior, you don't get as many in your category, especially as being a female. But it was definitely an experience, tiring fighting 4 days in a row, but it was good.
And how do you mentally and physically sort of deal with that? Switching off from one fight, preparing for the next day, recovery, sort of, yeah, sleeping as well. I imagine sort of you're quite wired and quite buzzing after a fight. So yeah, how did you deal with that?
It's definitely tough, especially like when dieting. It's like, oh, I've just won a fight, like I want to go and like eat pizza or I don't know, have a drink. But so mentally it's definitely tough, but I had the right people around me, like my parents were really supportive, had a good team, my coach was there. So you just kind of, you get the buzz of one fight, and then you kind of come down and you're like, okay, I need to prepare for tomorrow, so might go and just do some like recovery, kind of skipping or something, just to keep yourself moving, and then just get good sleep. So I think it's hard. It's definitely hard, but it's good.
And how did it feel? You sort of briefly mentioned it already, but how did it feel to actually come away as a winner, your 12th world title, first sort of in an adult event? How was that for you?
Yeah, I mean, it meant a lot to me. Like at each fight, like I take a lot from it. I always know there's still things to learn, and whether I win or not, there's still things to learn from. But definitely it's a good feeling. I enjoy that feeling.
And what was it like doing it in Thailand as well? Obviously, the home of Muay Thai as a martial art, going out there. So it's a long way to travel for anyone, let alone, someone of your age. Sort of, how was that whole experience and being out there and yeah, the birthplace of the sport?
Yeah, I really enjoy going to Thailand, fighting in Thailand. So I've had three professional fights up there so far as well. It's different. It's definitely different. I think tournaments, it's not so different. But for anyone who got to the final in the WBCs this year, got to fight in Lumpini, which is like the mecca of Thai boxing. It's like the Madison Square Garden of Muay Thai. So that's huge. Like that is just amazing to be able to get that opportunity. It's just insane. But I definitely think going out to Thailand, even training there, it's a different vibe. Like you're training twice a day. Everything's based around your training instead of your training based around your life, which I really enjoy myself.
And what are the people like out there? Sort of how passionate are they about the sport?
Yeah, very passionate. I don't There's so many people that do it, but each one of them has such a big passion, and a lot of the Thai trainers are willing to share their knowledge and like to be able to be there and be amongst like Thai legends who are there sharing their knowledge and passing it on to you is incredible.
And sort of the last spending the last few days sort of looking through the sport, looking through your profiles and other profiles, it feels like, although it is an individual sport where you're one against one, it feels like there's a massive, it feels like it's a massive family, and sort of everyone is willing to help each other learn and develop and grow the sport. Is that sort of, would you say that's quite correct?
Yeah, definitely. So it is an independent sport, but then you've got your team behind you, so your coaches, you might have your partners, your parents, things like that, and like your training partners as well. That is a huge thing to have all of them in the gym there helping you get ready. Like that is a family. Like I go to the Knowsley Academy in Edgware, and like that to me is a family. I go into the gym and I'm like, it's like another home for me. So I think that's definitely really important.
And I remember seeing your post after you sort of had won your world championship the other week, and seeing it, what you didn't just make it about you. You made it a lot about Team England and going out to support, watching all your other fighters and going to support them or supporting them, I guess, is nationally as well. And that team that went out there, it must be such strength, and it must be so nice to have everyone sort of backing you and cheering you and all in your corner.
Yeah. So like the Team England itself, really supportive. We all support each other. What if we're not fighting, we'll go cheer on like our fellow teammates, which is really good. And we all get on as well. So just having that team there is just like it's not just you there. It feels like you're all there.
And a lot of the fighters you come up against, maybe less so now that you're just moving into adult categories, but when you were younger, were you fighting the same people quite regularly, or were you fighting sort of a mixture of people? And if you were fighting the same people quite regularly, how did you find the sort of transition of this is someone you know, probably someone you like, and having to then they're someone you need to beat?
I didn't really have that experience. I think I did get to fight quite a number of people, but when I was more in my juniors, it was before COVID, so there was a lot more people fighting then, more events. It was a little bit different. But I think females, it is harder. So females will fight the same people regularly, just because a lot of girls, as you get older, seem to either drop out or they're in it. But I think fighting people regularly and then transitioning into like you become friends and then you fight again, I think it doesn't really matter because you're there to learn, you're there for the experience. Yes, it's a fight. Yes, both of you want to win, but I think that doesn't matter. Like, you're in the ring, you're going to fight, you show off your skills and you just do best version of you.
That's fair. And what is it about Muay Thai that I guess hooked you to it and keeps you going back? What are the real standout bits that you just love so much about the sport?
So for me, the like respect, the tradition. I also, for me, I also fight because it's a release for me. So I have like the reason I started and things like that is I got into it because it's like a release in the way I can communicate. So it's definitely a good thing to get into. If you struggle with communication and things like that. But I think the whole everything that goes into it, like I love the fighting, I love the respect afterwards, I love like the build up, I love the training camps. They're horrible, don't get me wrong, and the dieting, they're the worst kind of things, but at the same time, I have so much passion for it. It almost makes me love that.
And what's it like when you step out into the ring for any fight, for a major fight, for any sort of fight? Are you able to sort of take in your environment and think that what you're doing is quite cool, or do you, and you know, winning world championships and stuff, does that sort of enter your mind when you're out there, or when you step into that ring for a fight, is it very much just head on, focus, ready to take on your opponent?
Yeah, it's very once I well once I step into foot to the venue kind of thing, it's I'm focused, I'm just going to focus on that fight, like don't let anything around me distract me. Like I step into that ring and I'm like, I'm here to show my skills, to be the best version of myself, put like those last 6 weeks I've spent so much hard work doing, put them and like put on a show for everyone, and just get the win. That for me, I just focus on that.
It must take an incredible level of discipline as well. Like you've spoken about the training camps, the dieting, getting all the preparation right. Is that something that comes naturally to you, or is that discipline that's something that's developed over the years?
No, it's definitely not come natural, especially the dieting. I think as I'm still young as well, it's still a lot harder than I guess I might find it when I'm a couple years older. Dieting is awful. Like I'd sneak off on my way to school to the shop or something when I'm meant to be cutting weight. So it's definitely takes a lot of discipline. But I think the more I do it, the more disciplined I get, and the easier it becomes.
And you mentioned school as well. You know, you're at college at the moment studying criminal and forensic psychology. We just spoke before we started recording about you applying to unis. You've got offers as well. How do you find that combining your training with your studying?
It's hard, it's a lot of work, especially in college and getting my exams, doing my exams for university. I definitely say it's hard, it's tiring, long days. I've got to put so much in, like I'll go to college for the day and then train, or I train, then go to college and train again. But I definitely think it's worth it, and it just keeps me busy and keeps me doing something.
And how supportive have your teachers, mentors, your sort of educational institutions been with you throughout your career and supporting you with your training and having to go abroad to fight in Thailand and for world championships and stuff? How have they been?
Yeah, really supportive. Like we've always made it I've always made it aware to my teachers, my school, my college that I am like I do go and represent Team England. I get given these huge opportunities and it's not something we want to I want to really turn down. So you just have the conversation about that, and they've both school and college have been like, that's no problem, we'll work around it, we'll get you if you any lessons you miss, we'll get you in, help. The extra help. So having that, I think, supportive school and college is massively important, because if they were just like, no, you can't do this, I think as a fighter, I'd lose out on so many opportunities.
I bet the PE teachers must love you as well, because from what I remember of PE teachers, you had anyone who was competing at a high level, they wanted to sort of take you under their wing. Is that something you found as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think yeah, they loved it, and they just always wanted to hear about it.
And what are your peers at school like as well? Are they what sort of, do they like to, or do you like to talk to them about what you do, or do you try and sort of talk to them about just normal school stuff, teenage stuff? What sort of approach do you like to take?
So I got bullied in year seven at school, so I ended up moving schools. So that for me, because I got bullied, and I think a lot of it was around the fact I fought and things like that, I kind of didn't really speak about it unless it was like my best friend. I'd go and like talk to them about it. So that kind of stopped me from talking about it and just keeping that completely separate. But now the past few years, whilst I'm in college, like, it is something I talk to my friends about, and they like to understand. A lot of my friends come to my fights now as well, which I think is amazing, just to have another type of support, which is pretty cool.
If you don't mind me asking, so I went to school with someone who was a male and was a high-level ballroom dancer, but he hated talking about it because he thought he was going to get bullied, and he lied to everyone and sort of said he didn't do it anymore, even though I knew he did. And I was quite proud of him, and I sort of put my foot in it a couple of times by telling people that he was still doing it. But did that affect your how you felt about the sports, or when people were knocking you for it, or did it almost drive you more towards it to prove them wrong, I guess?
No, it definitely drove me to become better, become a better person, as well as become better within the sport. It didn't make me second guess the sport at all. I think it gave me much more love and passion for it. It just, I was like, I'm going to work harder than all of you, because in 10 years I could be number one, I could be a world champion, and I don't know what you would be doing.
I guess, does that ever cross your mind now when you are, you know, continuously experiencing success? Is that ever a driver or something that you still feel like you're proving people wrong, or do you just not waste any time thinking about them?
So sometimes I think if I like see someone and like, if I see someone that from those years, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, you just give me that extra push just because I've seen you. It's like, I remember. So I've just got that extra push to keep going. But most of the time it's like, well, you're not bothering me. So
I guess it's also, we've seen so much progression in acceptance and sort of exposure of women in sport and women doing traditionally non-female sports. Obviously, there's not really such a thing as a non-female sport, but does that, I guess the experience you had probably not that long ago still suggests that there's still education and there's still neat work we need to do around what defining or breaking down definitions of what is a women's sport, what's a men's sport, what men and women should be doing?
Yeah, definitely. There is still some people out there like, oh, women can't box, oh, women can't fight, women can't play football, kind of, women can't play rugby. There's definitely still people out there that think that, and it's disappointing to see. You'd think everyone's moved on by now, but they haven't. I guess that's just life. But there's definitely still, especially female in sport, like, still needs to bring awareness that we are all capable.
And we've not long passed International Women's Day. I saw you did a piece with Athlete Media Group as well. And I guess, I mean, in a weird way, hopefully we won't need days like International Women's Day when society eventually becomes equitable and we've got equality. But how important are those days for you as a young woman, to continue showing that, yeah, actually women do deserve to be treated the same as men?
Yeah, I think it's definitely important because it just gives the opportunity to like raise awareness and show people like that we should just be treated the same, like we're no different.
Make sure you follow Sportspiel on social media. Search for Sportspiel Pod on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or on LinkedIn.
Coming back to, I guess, your introduction into martial arts, into combat sports, I know you've been doing them since a very young age. So how did you first get introduced to, was it boxing first, or did you go straight into Muay Thai?
No, so I started in like past martial arts, which is like karate kind of. So you do like routines and things, and you get like belts and graded. But I had anger issues, so I was a very angry child. I also struggled to communicate how I felt. So there's just lots of things, and I just needed to find something that I could release. So my parents saw advert for it, took me down to the gym, and I stepped in that gym and I fell in love with it. Like I was like, this is where I need to be. I just want to be here all the time. Like I'll sleep here. Which I think sure, not many people I guess have that story. So, you know, but I definitely think it's important that you should find something you love to help kind of help your communication, help channel your anger.
Is that first day you went to the gym then like a really vivid memory for you?
Yeah, definitely. I just stepped in and I was like, yeah, this is where I need to be.
And how was it those first few months and years in a place where you did feel at home and you did feel like you had a passion and you could start to communicate and to sort of understand things about yourself a bit more? How was that initial introduction?
Yeah, it's really good. It's something I think I'll always remember. Like I got looked after so well. I made friends who kind of were similar, in the similar place. So it's definitely something that like I'm glad happened.
And may have been a bit young to notice, but how was it for your parents as well, sort of seeing their child finding a place, an environment that they were happy in and they thrived in after, you know, maybe having some difficult years before them?
I don't remember, but I would assume it definitely gave them a bit of relief. I think it definitely was like they was like this was a good idea.
And you've spoken before with other people about how supportive your family has been. So just sort of, yeah, if you could share sort of how much your parents and other family members have done for you and how much they've helped you with everything you've achieved so far.
Yeah, so Thai boxing itself is a self-funded sport. So both my parents have given me and allowed me the opportunities to go to Thailand, to go to Venice. I've been to Ukraine, Canada. I've been so many places that if my parents didn't support me, I just would not be able to do. So I'm so lucky in that aspect. But not even that, like my whole family, they asked me about it, and just being able to talk to someone about it and knowing actually they do want to know. And I'm not just talking at them and they're not listening, I think is really good. And I know all my family are there and they will always support me.
And then do I guess your parents must and other family members must, you know, come to all these trips with you as well. And how nice is it that you can go abroad but still and sort of be doing what you're doing but still having that sort of family comfort there in case you need it?
Yeah, I love having both my mum, my dad, and my sister like at my fights. So my mum and dad travel with me pretty much all the time. There's a couple of times I've been to Thailand and they haven't, just I guess due to work and things like that. But having them there, like knowing they're there, I think is really cool because I know not everyone's able to do that. It might just be them, or they might not even be able to get the opportunity. So I'm very grateful that I do get that opportunity.
And am I right in thinking that your granddad was a big inspiration as well? I just wonder if you could talk a little bit about him, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. So my granddad was a huge inspiration. He's into rugby, played rugby, sorry, for Wasps. So I always looked up to him, kind of always was like, so I actually started playing rugby for a bit as well. He loved it. He was so in love with sport as a whole, and especially like female in sport. Like my mum did gymnastics as well, so it was such a big thing, I think, in our family. Like being able to see my granddad thrive in something, I was like, I want to be like that.
I guess how you mentioned there sort of your mum being in gymnastics, your granddad being a big supporter of female sport. How important was that for you that your family weren't questioning the fact that you know, a young girl doing sport, they were actively encouraging you to do it, whereas, you know, other people might have had different experiences.
Yeah, I think seeing like my mum, or knowing my mum did was into sport for a long time, and like knowing my granddad gives that support, and my dad's, and both grandparents, like I think that definitely helped, knowing they're like, do what you want, like you go, like push yourself.
Yeah, amazing. What's on the agenda for you sort of coming up in the short and long term as well? Obviously you've already achieved so much, and this year already has been such a successful year, but what does the sort of short and long term future look like for you?
So supposed to be fighting in April, but unfortunately my opponent won't make weight, so I'm waiting to hear news about a fight next month. But I've got a couple of fights. I've got exams in May, so I have to focus on them. But June, I hope to get out again locally. And then end of June, I'm heading to Thailand for 2.5 months. I'm just going to go live out there, fight, train, just that's it. Eat, sleep, train, repeat kind of thing, which I think is really cool. But long term, for me, I would like to become UK number one on my weight. And also just start going around and just collecting titles, just get as many titles as possible, get as many fights in as possible, and just get my name out there and kind of get a big following.
Something that sort of I was going to mention actually, because Muay Thai, certainly in this country, still doesn't seem to be that big a sport. It doesn't get that much media pickup. So how important is it for you to, yeah, get your name out there and get people wanting to follow and watch and understand your sport in a way that they have done with other martial arts and combat sports in the last few years?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think slowly they're starting to pick up, like Sky Sports now film One Championship, which it's getting there. I think it's definitely getting more attention slowly, but it is very slow. But I think the more media coverage, the more people are aware, I think it'd be really good, because it just enables more opportunities and, yeah, it's better.
And what do you think about the sport that it makes it different, makes it stand out from other martial arts and other combat sports? What makes Muay Thai so good for you as to take part in, but then also to get people watching?
It's I'd say it's very different. Well, I guess you can say it's similar to MMA, but it's all stand up. But the way it's done, the respect around it, the tradition, the whole tradition around it is very different. But I know a lot of people now just like to see people getting knocked out and blood being thrown around the ring and things like that. Which I guess is what One Championship kind of allows, because you're fighting in small 4-ounce gloves. So I guess that's what cool.
But for someone like you, I guess also you don't want to just be portraying that, but you actually want to be portraying the skill, the tradition, the respect as well in your sport as well, I guess, won't you?
Yeah, for me personally, yes, definitely.
And I know that in the last few years, Muay Thai has been sort of working with the IOC as potentially becoming like an official sort of Olympic sanctioned sport, and maybe for one in the future that could be added onto the Olympic roster. Is that something that, you know, you think would be good for the sport, and is that something that excites you?
Yeah, it'd definitely be pretty cool. I mean, it'd be an Olympic sport. I think everyone who's competes in sport has a dream to go to the Olympics one day. I think it's hard because I know they're struggling too, because they're getting the drug testing properly done and things like that. I think they're struggling there, but I definitely think it being in the Olympics, it'll give it just more worldwide coverage. Like, more people know about it, more people will understand it. Because I don't know, some people, I'd meet someone and they'll be like, oh, what do you do? Because, like, say I had a black eye, like, a couple of weeks ago I did. There's like, oh, what happened? And I'm like, oh, I'm Muay Thai fighter. And they're like, what's that? So then you're going and having to explain it, and it's not so easy. But I think it'll get other people to understand.
Is that understanding, you think, is something that's important to you? Because I sort of don't want to talk about myself too much, but my sport is cheerleading. And sort of trying to explain to people before the Netflix series came out, like, what we do, it was never taken seriously. And then all of a sudden now that Netflix series has come out, I've got to a higher level, like, people, I sort of show videos to people, they get it. But there was a long time of like, oh, you do cheerleading, that's great, and then moving on. Do you think that, would you like, you know, sort of the lay person to have a bit more respect for actually, when you say I'm a Muay Thai fighter, what you actually do and what that encompasses?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm like, oh, everything should be about me at all, because that's just not me. But just I think people know, and it just brings that sport up and the sport up a level as well.
And I guess final question from me. We've already sort of briefly talked about it, and as we say, you're still so young. There's still so much for you to achieve. But over the last few years, what has Muay Thai given you, the sort of standout things that the sport has allowed you to do and experience and feel and achieve?
I mean, I've got to see a lot of the world, a lot more than I would have if I didn't, which is amazing. I know I go out there and fight and train, but I still get to go and visit these countries and see these different cultures. So it's learning, like, different. It also has given me a lot of discipline, like a lot. I think having that discipline is so important. You don't have to be really strict, but just having that there is just like another skill. And you just get to go and meet new people and just meet different types of people that you wouldn't necessarily meet if you didn't.
Amazing. Ellie, thank you so much for joining us. I've loved it. I feel like I've learned a lot. I hope people listening have learned a lot. And yeah, very excited to see what you achieve across the next decade or two, seeing how long you fight for. But yeah, all the very best for not only your career but also your studies and everything as well.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Once again, thank you to Ellie and to Athlete Media Group, and what a way that was to finish the series. Make sure you keep a close eye on Ellie's career, as we are certain she's got a lot more success coming her way. That's it for this series of Sportsville. Thank you to all of our wonderful guests for being so open, honest and interesting to listen to everyone involved in setting up the interviews, and also to all of you for listening as well. We'll be back with another series before too long, but in the meantime, you can listen to all of our previous episodes wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch them in full on YouTube, and make sure you're following us across social media using the handle @SportsBuildPod. See you soon!